Let's pray. Holy Spirit, would you come afresh upon us as we listen to Scripture? Would you open our hearts and minds to what you have to say to us? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the air conditioning is on, and if you hear that sound, it's not the coming of the Spirit. It's the air conditioning kicking on. So I just thought I'd say that, because as I prayed, some of you might have thought, oh, wow. No, it's the air conditioning. There weren't many people who followed Jesus at the time of the first Pentecost that we just heard about in Acts chapter 2. Last week was Acts chapter 1. I'm going to start again. There weren't many people who followed Jesus at the time of the first Pentecost. In fact, so few they were gathered in one place. Right now, even in a place like Maple Ridge, which you could argue is relatively godless, in that about 2,500 people might go to church today, we couldn't gather in one place. There's too many of us here. But in this place, there were so few of them, they were all gathered together. The wind was blowing, not from the air conditioning, and there were tongues of fire, and a crowd gathered to see what was going on. It said in verse 5, and well done, Jan, for all those names that she had to read. So when you get to read the Bible in church, always read it before you read it, because otherwise, especially if it's this one, obviously you'd practice. But the number of times I've been caught out, and now I will say, are there any difficult words? Because all those places, some of which sound familiar, some of which don't, that were named, and really the point of it is saying this was all the known world. This is all the places we can think of are there. And there were folks gathered from all those different places. It says, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven, and tongues of fire enabled the gathered Christians to speak to the crowd in their own language. The crowd were amazed and perplexed, it says, at what was going on. And I don't blame them, do you? I don't blame them for wondering what was going on. Even these days, if we see a crowd of people, we might kind of, if we're wandering by, we might kind of gather to try and see what's going on. Why is there a crowd around somebody? Some of the folks were saying, what does this mean? And others of them just dismissed it. They've had too much wine. They're just drunk. That's all it is. And so we get Peter, who says, no, but it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. The liquor stores don't even open till 10. There's no way they can be drunk. They're not drunk. Let me explain for you. And so he quotes the prophet Joel, and that's what we get in verses 17 to 21. And Joel had prophesied, as is the way with prophets, all that sort of dramatic stuff that was going to happen. But the bottom line, verse 21, is this. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so that, in a couple of minutes, is the summary of what happened at Pentecost. And my guess is you've been in church before when it's been Pentecost. Maybe not. Maybe this is your first time. You may well have heard every sermon going about Pentecost. There's all sorts of things that could be said. As the Holy Spirit comes upon the gathered crowd on the first Pentecost, so we continue to pray into that, as we've been doing this past week, that the Holy Spirit would come and fall afresh upon us today, to show us what God would reveal to us today. And sometimes, depending on your church background, we don't know quite what to do with the Holy Spirit. By and large, in the Anglican Church, of which we're a part, we're generally, you'll find we're okay talking about the Holy Spirit. We're okay singing about the Holy Spirit. There's almost no prayer that doesn't end with, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit features a lot. But we haven't always known what to do with the Holy Spirit, apart from just acknowledge that there is one. And so as we gather today and hear the story of Pentecost again, and as we worship and as we receive communion, and as maybe you come forward for prayer, I would encourage you to be open. To be open to what the Holy Spirit might be saying to you, might be doing in you. It's often said that Pentecost is the reason the church exists. In a sense, the church, although small across the city in Maple Ridge, exists because those people that we just heard about heard the good news of Jesus. And they went and told others about him. And so the story spread. And through missionaries and through evangelists through time, we've been able to be here today because of that Holy Spirit. You see, at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit coming to be with us on earth in our lives. Jesus said before he went to heaven, which was last week. Well, I mean, he didn't go last week, but I was talking about it last week. He said before he, I'm going to lose track now. He said before he went up to heaven that he would send another. He would send another to come alongside. And you've probably heard the Greek word. Anyone shout out what it is? Parakletos. Great. The Parakletos. Para meaning alongside. Some of you have studied math at school. Parallel lines. Train tracks. Had to get them in somehow. They're parallel lines. Para means alongside. So Parakletos means the one that comes alongside, to walk alongside, to be a helper, to be a comforter. We don't have the best translation for the Holy Spirit. For years, in fact, we translated Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, which can sound a bit scary, Holy Ghost. And it's true that some people are slightly scared of the Holy Ghost. We're slightly scared of the Holy Spirit, perhaps, because we don't like being helped. We don't want someone to come alongside us and help us. One of the things I struggled with moving to Canada was just how friendly the people are in shops. You may not realize this if you grew up here, but if you go to England into a shop, no one's going to talk to you. No one's going to help you. And if you walk towards someone ready to, I am stereotyping, apologies if you're British, but you walk towards somebody looking for some help, and they will do their best to run away or avoid eye contact. And then coming to Canada, hi, how are you? Can I help you? I just want to have a look, thank you. Sometimes we just don't want to be helped. And maybe you have a computer or a phone in your pocket, and you go to a website, I don't know, whatever it is you're looking for, and you find a friendly chatbot will pop up in the corner. Can I help you? No! Go away! Or you start filling in the thing, yes, I'm looking to buy such and such. And then you get into a whole conversation that doesn't go anywhere, and in the end you just put, help! Okay, I need to talk to somebody, a real person, please. Anyone had that experience? The robots rarely have the answer. And even if they do have the answer, we might second guess that the answer is right. I wonder if sometimes many of us just don't want to be helped. And so the Holy Spirit, as the part of God that is to come alongside and help us, to help us do what we can't do on our own strength, can in fact be troublesome for us to get our head around. Verse 4 says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The tongues they spoke were different languages, and the different languages, the purpose of God giving different languages by the Holy Spirit to those people was so that all, do you remember the names? All the people that came from all over the place who were gathered around, so that all of them could hear the good news of Jesus in their own language. And so that was the tongues that they were given. As we talk about tongues, For some of us, we talk about a private prayer language, where we might sing or pray or talk in tongues. Again, not something that's been that much talked about in the Anglican Church. And at times, people have sort of frowned upon it and said, no, we don't do that here. Go to another place. And some people here have told me that's what they were told. The gift of tongues is, for many of us, we don't get given a different language. I'm going to be visiting Quebec soon, and my French is kind of schoolboy French with an English accent. So, you know, on two levels, quite bad. I can probably order myself a coffee, which obviously is the most important thing I will be doing. But other than that, and obviously I know railway French. Some of you know my love of trains, so I can ask what time the next train is in French, probably. Although I'm not going to demonstrate it now because you put me on the spot. But I'd love to just receive the gift of being able to just speak in French. And there are stories of people who have received a word to say to somebody in a different language, and it's not been a language they knew, and they've understood it, and that does happen. But most of the time, as we speak now about tongues, we speak about a language that is, there's a private prayer language, and it sounds a bit like gobbledygook, and it's God giving us a way, as it says in Romans, that our voice can join in with in prayer with God. And so for some people, Pentecost is a time when they might say, God, would you give me a fresh gift? Would you give me the gift of tongues? Would you give me other gifts of the Spirit? And there's a lot of them and too many to name in today. But I would encourage you, as you come for communion and as you have the chance to go for prayer ministry, to go to one of those who are there to pray and just say, ask for the gift, whatever gift it is. It could be tongues, it could be wisdom, it could be, I don't know, it could be joy. The gifts that we get given through the Spirit and by the Spirit are for each of us. And each of us will need different things at different times. So many people come to our church and find that they start crying. And it's not just because the pastor's sermons are too long. I don't think. It's that the Spirit of God is here. And sometimes when we come into God's presence, all we need to do is break down and cry. And then I hear from those people, I really enjoyed coming to your church, but I'm not going to come back because I cried. Maybe you just needed to cry, and this was the place to do it. I hear from others who come and experience a sense of peace, a peace that they didn't have before they came in. And they come in, and be it in one of the songs or one of the prayers or at some other point, and they just sense the presence of God. These are the kinds of things that we might experience if we're open to the Holy Spirit. And so, my hope is that as we get to the communion prayer, and I say the words, the Lord is here, and you respond, His Spirit is with us, that it's not just by rote. It's not just because it's what it says on the screen and it's what we always say. But there's a sense of openness to see what the Spirit is doing. I think the Holy Spirit is at work. Seeing the wider church, as we got to do, some of us last week at the big meeting of the Diocese of Anglicans, so that is, if you don't know what a diocese is, it's a collection of churches, 62, not always 62, but in our case, 62 churches that go from Hope to Squamish and everywhere in between. And there are folks gathered and just hearing what the Spirit of God is up to in these different places. And as much as we hear about some things where there's change, and most of us don't like change, unless we like the change, you know. It's a good change, we like it, but we don't always love change, and in the church there's lots of stuff is changing. Things are finishing that used to happen before, and new things are starting. But there's a sense of God being on the move, of the Spirit being at work in people. We have a sign outside the church, and many times people will say, I've driven by that sign for years, but something said to me today I should come in. And as wonderful as the words are on the sign, it's not on its own. It's the Spirit of God that prompts people. That's the Spirit that's at work. People who have never encountered faith are beginning to encounter church in different places. People are exploring. I think we're in a new season. We're in a new season. The Spirit of God is at work. And so when we come to church, we have a sense of expectation. Is the Holy Spirit at work outside of the church? Absolutely. But the Holy Spirit is also at work in the church. We get to practice the gifts of the Spirit. We get to see people and look at their eyes when we say, how are you? I'm fine. You've had someone say that to you before, and you've probably said that too. How are you? I'm fine. And inside, you're thinking, no, you're not. And so you follow up with a text message or a phone call later on. Hey, just wondering if you'd like to go and grab a coffee just to catch up. And you discover they weren't fine at all, and the Holy Spirit had prompted you to ask that question. The Holy Spirit works in big ways and small ways. And more often than not, I would suggest that we see the Spirit at work in these tiny ways, these little promptings. So being open to the Spirit means being open to hear those little promptings. I haven't seen that person for a while. I should give them a call. They weren't at church on Sunday. I'll just call them and tell them that on Tuesday we've got a communion service at 9 o'clock and it's only 15 minutes long. And hey, why don't you come along and then we'll go out to Tim's afterwards. I hear Ryan Reynolds is there making breakfast. There's no coming back from that joke, because that was not in the script. It's good. I've had it, actually. It's good eggs and potatoes. Expectation. What is our expectation? Do we come to church expecting to encounter a living God, or do we come expecting to go through the motions? Maybe at coffee time, when you enjoy the Ethiopian coffee that I think Jim made this morning, you could ask the question, how do you know that God's Spirit is at work in your life? Maybe you could ask that question in your life groups if you're in a group meeting this week. How do you know that God's Spirit is at work in your life? The Holy Spirit at Pentecost enabled them very demonstrably to speak different languages, and so it was evident. They knew that God was at work because they didn't necessarily speak all the different languages they were saying. How do you know that God's Spirit is at work in your life? What might happen tomorrow if the Holy Spirit comes afresh upon us today? What conversations might we have with people at school, at work, over the fence with our neighbor, in the grocery store? We get to share our faith. We get to show the Spirit of God being at work in the world. God wants to use us. And my sense is that our community, and not just this one, probably all of them around from what I'm hearing, there are people who are so open and ready to hear the good news of God. They're ready to hear about the Holy Spirit, that sense of the presence of God in us, alongside us. Maybe those barriers that we have, we just need to lay them down a little and say, okay, God, I'm open to how you want to use me by your Spirit today. I mentioned going into stores and not liking to ask for help. I'm going to finish by encouraging us to pray that the Holy Spirit would help us. You might like to hold your hands out, don't have to, but that's just a sign of saying, God, I'm open to receive what you have for me, the good gifts of your Spirit. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, God of compassion and love, we thank you that you love us, that you love all people in this world. We thank you that you sent Jesus so that each person on this planet can be brought back to you. And we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit here to walk alongside us and to help us share the good news of your kingdom. I pray now that you would equip us for tomorrow, for the conversations we might be able to have in those places we find ourselves. Would your Spirit help us to communicate the good news in our words and deeds? Holy Spirit, come like the rushing wind. Blow the cobwebs away. Stir us up to be a people who are bold to share our faith to the glory of God. We pray this in Jesus' name.